Take your Bibles and turn to the Song of Solomon, the first chapter. We're going to be looking at verses 12 through chapter 2, verse 7 this evening. We have a lot of folks still out traveling. It's good to see the Warren family back. They've been traveling. I'm always glad when summer is over and everybody and school starts again and everybody's got to come back and be here. Man, it was pitiful on Sunday, just seeing everybody that was gone. So I'm glad you're here tonight, and always glad when you can go on vacation, but always so very glad when you come back home. We're in Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 12 through chapter 2, verse 7. While the king sitteth at his table... Visual. Song of Solomon is a visual book. So can you see that? Who is that speaking of? Well, speaking of the king. Where is the king sitting? He's sitting at the table. So again, visualize in your mind a king with all the pomp and circumstance of his kingdom. He is sitting at his table, no doubt at the head. I can see a long table. I can see two chairs, one at either end. That was very popular for the kings to show their power and to show honor to the person who was seated at the table. While my king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. Verse 13 and 14 give a couple of terms. And people will take these verses and say, we need a new Bible with updated language. You do not need a new Bible. You need a dictionary. Enriching your word power has been around for a long time. You should learn new words. And then January, I put the new versions of the Bible up there, and we put words up there that I have never heard of in my life that occur in those Bibles. So for the new Bible publishers to say, we have updated the language to make it more common, you should Google whatever version you want to look at and say, what are the difficult words that are found in that Bible? And you'll find hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them that you go, what in the world? And then you look at the King James language and you go, that's a whole lot easier to understand than some of these other words. So we're going to teach you a couple of new words this evening. Verse 13 is a bundle of myrrh. Is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphor in the vineyards of En-Gedi. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. What in the world is going on between verses 15, 14 and 15? Well, you've got the Shulamite talking in verse 14, and then in verse 15, the tempter starts to rear his ugly head. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved. Yea, pleasant. Also, our bed is green. The beams of our house are cedar, and our rafters full fur. What is the significance of her speaking? And then the king. Again, you've got the king at his table. Her odor fills the room, and she speaks about her love, the bundle and the cluster of campfire. And then in verse 15 and 16, you've got the king. What in the world is going on there? I'm going to try to help you to understand that and put some significance with that this evening. Chapter 2, verse 1. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. We sing the song, he's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. It's not really biblical, because if you look at this verse, you'll see valley is plural. He's not just the lily of the valley. He's the lily of every valley. As the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Who is being talked about in verse 4? Well, there's a double meaning in verse 4. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons. What in the world is that? I'll help you to understand that tonight. Comfort me with apples. You're going to learn all kinds of new vocabulary tonight. And then next week, I'm going to test you on it. Oh, aren't you glad next week is vacation Bible school, right? So two weeks. You got 2 weeks to study of the terms. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love till he, the shepherd, till he please. What in the world is going on in verse 7? We're going to look at those things this evening, a very full text tonight, and I hope that you'll be blessed and encouraged by the Bible study this evening. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your grace and your goodness, and thank you for these vivid reminders in this very sacred song of songs, of all songs, that we have neglected and ignored. And as we're paying attention to it, I pray that we would be blessed and encouraged to know that there hath no temptation taken us but such as is common to man, but that you are faithful and that you will sustain us and help us in every temptation. Now, not that we would be able to escape it, but that we would be able to bear it, bear those. And I pray, Father, this morning that we would be this evening that we'd be encouraged and know you and know your word, and we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. A brief review of where the Shulamite sits. In chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, the Shulamite is captive in the king's castle. She cannot leave. She cannot. She has been forced there. No doubt, from the text, we see that she has been forced there against her will, against her better judgment, and it is not within her power to leave. And I reminded you last week that this is not without precedent, that in the book of Esther, that the king, in putting forth his desire to find a new queen after Vashti was removed, went throughout the realm and the kingdom, seeking eligible young virgins to bring before him to be part of this pageant. And to tell how narcissistic and self-serving a king can be, that he would think that everyone who is brought in would just... Men are such... such creatures that defy description. Let's just put it that way. I wanted to use the word pigs. But you've got this. The ladies are going, yeah, that would be a good fitting. They just think that everybody that is brought into the room is just going to desire them above all else and not give any thought to the spiritual consequences of their action. And not to give any thought that there might be... We're talking about King Solomon here, right? And so he's supposed to be a godly, righteous, thinking, spiritually minded man, is he not? But he is in the same, he has put himself in the same category as the wicked king. You think, why wouldn't you want to be part of my harem, my kingdom? I mean, what woman in their right mind wouldn't want to be part of this? And I think, what woman in their right mind would want to be part of what you've got going on? And the answer, the only answer that I can come up with, is a wicked, unsaved, ungodly, world-focused woman, but certainly not a spiritual one. She's not going to want to be part of a harem. She's not going to want to do that. Why? Because God had a design from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, one man and one woman for a line. And so she is looking for that one man. Mary was not looking for just any old guy that was out there. She was looking for one man. And Joseph was that man. And ladies, today you should have your sights set on the same thing. One man that is going to love the Lord and is going to love you as he loves the Lord. But Solomon has taken himself out of that. The world cries, and the other women, the other ungodly minded women in the kingdom cried, "What's the matter with you? Why wouldn't you want to be a part of this?" And they don't understand. They don't understand that. I remember when Mrs. Bishop and I celebrated our 9th anniversary. I said, "Well, we celebrated 9 years. I was on the police department, and I said, at the courthouse, today's my anniversary. We're celebrating 9 years." And the lady looked at me, and she said, "9 years? To the same one? To an unsaved person? That's normal. And to a Christian, I'm thinking, 9 years? Seriously? That's nothing. Nothing." A different mindset. So the world cries, "Join us in our sin and debauchery." And have we not seen that at the Olympics, the Paris Olympics, openly mocking the followers of Jesus Christ? Is that accidental? No, it is not. It's right here in the Song of Solomon. Is it new? No, it is not. It is right here in the Song of Songs. And we saw that from last week. So what should we be? Here we have in verse 12, the king sitting at his table, again, a visual book, with the Shulamite against her will and against her better judgment. And if she could, she would remove herself from this, but she can't because she is captive. She's being held captive by the king until she comes to her senses and embraces his ungodliness. Yet, her aura, spikenard, is mentioned in verse 12. "My spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof." What caused King Solomon to be attracted to this one above all others? Because this one was the godly one. This one is the one that resisted his advances. This one is the one that said, "I will not be a part of this. I will not give you my love. I will not give you that allegiance. I will not do that because it's contrary to God's word." I'm reminded that in Christ's first message to the world, in Matthew chapter 5, he commanded us to be light. "A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but it's intended to be on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house." We are to be that. John chapter 1. John was not that light. He was sent to bear witness of that light, which is the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And we are to bear witness of that light. In verse 13, we see the bundle of myrrh. What is a bundle? Now you think of a bushel basket. That's not what a bundle was. A bundle was a little purse that a woman would carry, and she would put it around her neck, and she would fill that little thing with all kinds of scents. Now, every once in a while, Mrs. Bishop will wear a necklace, and in that necklace, it's glass, and she can, I've never played with it, all right? But she can open it up, and whenever there's a grandchild born, she puts a new little thingamabob in there. A token, a birthstone of the month of that child was born. And I just say it's getting a little crowded. In my opinion, maybe she should have got a bigger one. But you look at her, and she'll explain all of that to you. And in the Song of Solomon, the ladies would wear a spice bag. It's called a bundle. It's also notable in verse 13, that is a bundle of myrrh. Verse 14, I'll talk about that in just a second. "My beloved is unto me as a cluster of campfire." So we've got a gal with a bundle, a scent bag, worn and suspended around her neck with special spices. It was a lovely smell. And then she refers to the shepherd, Jesus Christ, as a cluster of camphor. What in the world is that? Camphor was a ransom. It was a satisfaction. You look up the definition of that. As in a bribe or a sum of money. It had an understood significance to the Jewish people. But because of language and time, and I'll just say ignorance, we take these terms and throw them away and try to get a new Bible with a new term. And again, we don't need a new term. What we need to do is we need to come to understand that she, when she was in the presence of unsaved people, the scent of her Christianity, of her love for the Lord, just filled the room. And she looked to Christ, her shepherd, as her ransom, as the guy that paid the price for her. Do you, when you walk into a room, do you fill that room with the sweet spices of the Christian life of a Christian who loves the Lord Jesus Christ? When you walk into auto parts, guys, you know, if you're like me, when you walk into auto parts, it's typically because you are in the middle of a project that is not going well. And while you're fixing one thing, you broke something else. And so I had one of those days. I was working on the car and I broke something else and I had to go to the dealer. It was a dealer only part to get the part. And I got to the dealer and the dealer said, it's not going to be here for another half an hour. I said, you said you had it here. Well, we figured that we'd have it here by the time you got here, but it's not going to be here for another half an hour. And it was nearby your house, and across the street was the Salvation Army. And so here I am. I have grease from head to toe. I mean, I've washed my hands, but I've probably got grease spots on my face, and I got an old hat on. I look probably like a homeless guy. And so I'm in the Salvation Army store, and I'm the preacher, right? So I'm attracted to what? On the counter, they had a stack of old Bibles. And so I'm thumbing through that. Where'd it come from? What is the date? I'm looking things up. Just of interest to me. And one of the workers comes over and says, hey, fella. Hey. He said, that's a Bible. And I went, oh, I'm not about to tell him I'm the preacher, right? He said, you should get that. Yeah? He said, you should read it. Oh, he said, it do you a lot of good. And I went, huh. He said, matter of fact, he said, I'll give it to you. You take that Bible home and you read it. Now, what can I say? No, I'm not interested in the Bible. I did exactly what you would have said. I said, oh, thank you very much. And I walked out of the store. When you're in there and you look all dirtied up, do you bring the smell of Christ's love in there with you? Or are you, get away from me. Leave me alone. What's the matter with you? Get out of my way. I'm in a hurry. This happens to me every day. Happened to me today. I was at the cash register and the lady said, would you like a receipt? And I said, I would. And she said, huh, it won't print. And I just said, I tell folks at church every week, don't follow me in line, because if there's a computer and I'm in line, it's going to break. So don't send me to another line. I'll just stay here till you get it done. Do you bring a smell of peace, or do you say, this is a bad place, you're bad people, you got a bad computer system? Or do you bring in the smell of Christ's love? Again, the smell is significance. Spikenard was an aromatic oil extracted from a plant in India. It was imported. It was valuable. It was expensive, rare and costly. Mary of Bethany in Matthew chapter 26 and the Gospel of John chapter 12. I will not go there and read those passages, but you're familiar with them. Mary came in and she anointed Christ. And what? The Bible says in the 12th chapter of John that the odor filled the room. Again, here's the Shulamite at the table of the king, and the odor of her love for the Savior filled the room. Does your love for the Savior fill the room when you walk in to your home? That's one thing to do it at the auto parts. It's another thing to do it at church. I mean, everybody expects you to do that. But I have found that people are most callous and cruel at their home, with their family, whom they love. We say things to our husband, to our wife, to our children that we would never say to the preacher or to Mrs. Bishop. We would show respect, but we have a tendency, familiarity breeds contempt, we have a tendency to take our familiarity with our family and not exude the sweet spikenard, the myrrh, the sweetness of the Christian life to those that we love. Again, she saw her beloved as a campfire, a cluster of campfire, as the one who had provided the payment for her sin. I had received three emails today out of random for people that I have not seen or heard from in 50 years. Okay, maybe 45. And out of the blue, I got an email from this guy, and he said, I want you to know I prayed for you today. Have you ever felt God's leading in your life to reach out to someone you haven't seen or heard from in 40 years just to say, God brought you to mind today and I prayed for you? That's that sweet smell that we ought to bring into the Christian life to influence others for Christ. She realized that Christ was her ransom, her satisfaction, that he had paid the price. And no matter how the world was falling apart around her, no matter the fact that she was held captive, regardless of the fact that she could not get to where she wanted to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, she didn't have power over that. She still exuded the love. And the king couldn't ignore that. But notice the king in the next verse. What does he do? Why are you longing with this bundle? I don't understand. King, here's the spiritual king, but he doesn't understand the significance of that. He should have. We don't, but you will from now on, right? As a ransom, a payment that had been made? What is that all about? You know, spiritual king ought to say, huh, man, you long for the Lord Jesus Christ. I understand exactly what that means. But he doesn't. What does he say? He comes right back at her and says, why would you want to wait for the Lord? Why do you exude such love for him? I have so much more to offer you. Behold, thou art fair. What is he trying to do? I mean, it's so typical of the tempter as he tries to distract you away from your love for the Lord with visual, auditory pursuits. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved. Yea, pleasant. Also, our bed is green. The Shulamite, in verse 17, references the beams of our house are cedar. and our rafters fur. What is she doing in verse 17? She, after the two verses where the king tries to distract her, she's in the middle of a passionate focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, and Satan sends a commercial. Stick something in there to try to turn her away. But what does she do? In the very next verse, that 17th verse, she refocuses on her love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 17 reminds me of what the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples in John chapter 14. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The Shulamite focuses immediately on the Lord Jesus Christ. Preacher, what should I do? Because the Shulamite is a picture of the believer. What should I do when Satan, in the middle of us, do you ever notice in the middle of your prayer time, you're on your knees and you're working through your prayer list and you're, and all of a sudden Satan says, hey, you forgot to put the trash out. Oh, where did that come from? It's not new. Satan tries to get you up off of your knees, out of your recitation of your love for the Lord Jesus Christ, and get you to take the trash out. And take the trash out, take the clothes out of the washing machine. Oh, I need to dust on the second shelf in the living room. I mean, who in the world would suggest that that's a good thing to do besides Mrs. Bishop? Satan would. And he doesn't care what it is. He tries to distract you. And what should you do? You should don't stop your prayer. I mean, if you have to, get yourself a pen and a piece of paper and say, take out trash. And go right back to your focus on the Savior. Dust, nonsense in living room. LR. I say, what if you don't remember what LR stands for? Then it probably wasn't necessary that you dust it in the living room anyway. And this is not new, not by today's standards, not by King Solomon's standards. This is one of Satan's oldest ploys. Just think of the Garden of Eden. He went after Eve and distracted her from her pursuit of the Lord. Yea, God said, thou shalt not. And when Eve saw that the fruit was good, pleasant to the eyes and desired to make one wise, then she took it. What should she have done? Ask God about fruit. Well, I'll ask Adam too. Put him in parentheses. And gone right back to her focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. But what did she not do? She did not focus back on the Lord Jesus Christ, which is what we're supposed to do, which is the picture that is given us here in Solomon chapter 1. And she and Eve let Satan distract her, and we know where we are today as a result. Satan will try to stop you mid-service. He'll try to distract you from Christ. And what we need to do is refocus. I'm the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. I love the song. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valleys, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll.
He's the lily of the valleys, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
What should I do when Satan throws me a curveball? I don't know. Sing to him. Sing to him. What is your moral and spiritual character? What is your heart attitude? What is your confidence? As a lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. So the apple tree among the trees. Verse 4, again, I mentioned has a double meaning, two sides. He brought me to his banqueting house. His banner over me was love. Certainly, this is a... We're in the banqueting room. The king is at one end of the table. And again, picture this. This is pretty characteristic of the time. The king is at one side of the table. The Shulamite is at the other side of the table. There is all kinds of food, a feast set before them. Around the king's chamber in this room, there are banners that are displayed. Pretty, again, consistent with kings of the time. And the Shulamite says, I'm not going to be distracted with the table, with what has been placed before me, or the banners of his conquests around the world. She's going to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. We sing the song in Sunday school and in children's church, his banner over me is love. It's not talking about the Shulamite and talking about the king. This is talking about the Shulamite and talking about her shepherd. And again, it certainly has to do with where she is sitting and where she is seated. Verse 5 says, stain me with flagons. What is that? Well, again, we got the banqueting table. We got the king at one end. We got the Shulamite at the other. We've got everything set up. And what is missing off the table? Well, flagons are missing. Why? Because that's the food of poor people. What is that? Raisin cakes. Can you imagine the king? You want what? Raisin cakes. Raisin cakes? Who in their right mind wants raisin cakes? My dad was raised during the Depression era, and he every once in a while, we'd want ice cream, right? And he would say, I'm going to show you what we had for dessert when we were growing up. And he would get out a glass, and he would put some milk in there. They had cows, so they had milk. And he would take an old crusty piece of bread, and he'd stick... Doesn't sound good, does it? He didn't sell us on this either. He'd stick the bread in there. He'd get a little bit of sugar and sprinkle it on top, and he'd eat it. He says, oh, it's like eating candy. Nope, I was never enticed. It's like raisin cakes, soggy bread with sugar on top. Really? And the Shulamite says, hey, it doesn't matter what you put in front of me. I am satisfied with Jesus. I don't need a big house. I don't need a big table. I don't need fancy food. So the psalmist said, feed me with food convenient for me. His left hand is under my head. His right hand doth embrace me. I'm just reminded again, a visual picture. When I pray, I'm going through a tough time, a real terrible battle. My heart is broken. I visual myself with my head, that's the bow here at the altar, I visualize, again, the Silent Psalm is a visual book. I'm a visual person. I like to see it. The Williams said, hey, we got this problem going on. Do you have a picture? Did I not just say that just before the service? I'm a visual person. I want to see a picture. When I'm going through a tough time, I picture myself placing my head on the chest of the Lord Jesus Christ. I picture his embrace, saying to me, my child, it's going to be okay. Again, a very
visual a book. Verse 6, verse 7, the Shulamite speaking to the people in the room that would say, what's the matter with you? Why don't you get involved in the pornography? Why don't you get involved in the pomp and circumstance? Why don't you just embrace the immorality and enjoy the fruits thereof? And her reply to them is, don't even try to stir up my love. Ye stir not up, nor awake my love. Because it's all for the Lord. And I will not give that love to another person, to another thing that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. When morning gilds the sky, my heart awakening cries, may Jesus Christ be praised. Alike at work and prayer, to Jesus I repair. May Jesus Christ be praised. Does sadness fill my mind? My solace here I find. May Jesus Christ be praised. Or fades my earthly bliss, my comfort still is this. May Jesus Christ be praised. When sleep her balm denies, my silent spirit sighs. May Jesus Christ be praised. When evil thoughts molest, with this I shield my breast. May Jesus Christ be praised. The night becomes as day when from the heart we say, may Jesus Christ repraise. The powers of darkness fear when this sweet chant they hear, may Jesus Christ be praised. In heaven's eternal bliss, the brightest strain is this. May Jesus Christ be praised. Let earth and sea and sky from depth to height reply, may Jesus Christ be praised. Be this while life is mine, my song of love divine, may Jesus Christ be praised. Sing this eternal song through all the ages long. May Jesus Christ be praised. And Father, I do not know what captivity the folks before me endure. Some financial, some family, some medical. Satan seems to seek to rob them of their joy, to dwell, drown out the smell of their sweet spirit with the satanic sinfulness of this world. And I pray that he would not be successful. That on the lips of the folks seated in front of me this evening would be that song. May Jesus Christ be praised in sickness, in death, in health,
in wealth, in desperate times. May that be our prayer. And may the sweet smell of our testimony fill the room, that people would see you and your salvation. And we'll thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. If you have a prayer request card, send that to the